Here they are again, Harry and Thelma Duff, Gerald and Phyllis Lohner, next door friends and neighbors.
Dunhill, the most distinguished cigarette in the world. Dunhill King Size is a cigarette in the Dunhill tradition, created by our blenders from tobaccos of exceptional quality to be the world's finest king size cigarettes. Dunhill King Size, from the most distinguished tobacco house in the world.
Darling.
Yes?
I've lost my gold watch.
That all?
Well, no. We've been burgled. Everything's gone.
Really? Anything else?
Yes. The dog bit the postman and he's suing us.
Fine. I'll call Standard Bank.
Bank?
Well, the Standard Bank handles all our insurance, darling. We get instant cover and pay premiums monthly. Whatever happens, we're covered. What's that noise?
Darling, I think the house is on fire.
Thelma, I'm home.
Is that you, Claude?
Yes, it's... Who?
Claude.
No, it's me, Harry. This is a fine adjective, this is. Who's Claude?
You search me. Isn't he a friend of yours?
I don't know anyone called Claude.
Nor do I.
But, so I walked in the door, you said, is that you, Claude?
Yeah, that's right. I just made it up as a change from saying, is that you, Harry?
Oh, blimey, Del, I don't know. This is a fine way to treat the family breadwinner after he's wended his weary way homeward.
Well, I'm only trying to make things a little different, that's all. Well, what's the matter, Harry? You're not yourself tonight.
No, and I'm not Claude either. Now, look, do me a favor and knock it off, Del. I'm in no mood for jokes tonight.
Why, what's the matter?
Oh, I had a really tough time today at the factory.
What? Don't tell me you had to enamel two baths.
Thelma, being sarky is going to get you absolutely nowhere.
Oh, I'm sorry, lover boy. Well, what were you doing that was such hard work?
Oh, selling tickets for the office suite.
Is that all?
Oh, blimey, you must try getting money out of that bunch of skinflints down there. Tickets are only a quid a time, but do you think they'll cough up? No.
Why not?
Well, there's been some nasty fingers of suspicion pointed lately.
Suspicion, Harry.
Eh?
It's fingers of suspicion.
Look, stop interrupting, Thelma. Whatever they had on their fingers, they were still pointing them in the wrong direction. My direction.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's pretty natural, isn't it? Well, I mean, you are the organizer of the sweep. You have won it for the last 3 months running.
Yes, but I mean, a bloke's luck's got to come up sometime, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, I hope you don't mind me saying it, but that does sound a bit suspicious, Harry.
Auspicious, Thelma.
Eh?
It's auspicious.
Oh, blimey, if you say so, Harry.
Yes, well, I do. Anyway, after I managed to get the money out of them, I had to sit for hours writing 16 on all the tickets that were going to be put into the ad.
What for?
Well, 16 was my number, wasn't it?
Oh, Harry, you have been cheating.
Cheating? Me? I wouldn't dream of it. Well, I might have been helping it along a bit, but I certainly hadn't been cheating. Anyway, just before we close, I caught one of the girls in the typing pool to draw a lucky number. And do you know what the dim broad did?
Well, she had to draw out 16.
Ah, but that's just it. She pulled it out. The lucky number is number 91.
91? How did that happen?
Well, she was holding the ticket upside down. It isn't very funny, Thelma.
Oh, isn't it?
All that blinking work for nothing.
Oh, well, who won it?
The guy that bought the very last ticket. Gerald.
Hey. Oh, I'm surprised he actually bought one at a quid a time.
Yeah, he wasn't going to till I lent him the quid.
Ah!
just my natural flair for picking the right number, Phyllis. It isn't everyone who can do it, you know.
Oh, no, dear, I'm sure it isn't. Oh, what are we going to do with £91?
Well, it's only 90, really. I have to give Harry back the £1 I borrowed from him this morning.
Oh, Gerald, I thought you said you weren't going to borrow any more money.
Well, I had to, Phyllis. I just had this sudden premonition that my lucky number was about to come up. Ooh, I know it was a mad, desperate gamble. But I just had to take the chance. The fact that Harry had one arm around my neck and the other twisting my arm behind my back had nothing to do with it.
Well, you really shouldn't have done, Gerald. Oh, but in a way, I suppose I'm glad you did.
In 90 ways, I'm glad I did. Yeah, you should have seen Harry's face when that girl pulled the number out of the hat. First it went white, then red, then changed to purple, and finally settled into a deep blue shade.
Well, I wonder why he was so upset. He's won it often enough.
Yes, just jealousy, that's all. Jealousy. Now, let's see. What are we going to spend it on? Have you got any ideas, Billy?
Oh, not really, Gerald, but nothing specific, anyway. Oh, here are Harry and Thelma. Maybe they can help us decide. Come in!
Hello,
you two.
Well, I hear you deserve congratulations, Gerald.
Oh, I do, Thelma, I do. Thank you.
Come on, Harry, congratulate Gerald.
Yes, come on, Harry. You didn't say anything at work.
And I'm not going to say anything here either.
Harry.
Shouldn't have been you that won it at all. Should have been me.
Harry.
A dirty great fiddle, that's what it was.
Harry.
You see, what should have happened was that when that girl threw out 91, it should have been...
Harry!
Congratulations, Gerald.
Oh, thank you, Harry. Here's your pound back.
Oh, thanks very much.
What do you think we should do with the money, Thelma?
Why don't you pay a few of your accounts?
No, Thelma, I couldn't do that. It would take the fun out of seeing who's going to sue me at the end of each month.
Oh, blimey. Well, why don't you buy Phyllis a few new clothes then, Gerald?
A few new clothes? What for? She's got all the ones she needs, haven't you, Phyllis?
Well, I must admit that I could do with a new white dress, Gerald.
What's wrong with the one you've got?
Well, it's rather gone out of style, Gerald. You know, nobody wears the dress that they got married in to go out in anymore.
Oh, all right then, Phyllis. I'll put something aside for that. Now, we've got £87 left. Now, what should we do with that?
Now, why not let it be a start towards a deposit on a home of your own?
Oh, no, I don't think I'd ever save the rest of the money.
Yeah, you're right there. Well, why don't you use it to move to a better place? Now, this is a bit run down.
Yes, that's a good idea. Why don't you move? Yeah, oh, wonderful. Well said, Thelma, well said. I'll tell you what, I'll help you, Gerald. Don't worry about that. Fred will lend me his truck. I'll load it all. Take it wherever you like. I'll unload it, put it in your new place. When are you going?
Not yet, Harry. Don't get too carried away.
Oh, it's a pity.
Harry, you never have really liked us living here, have you?
Well, to put it bluntly...
I'd rather put it another way, Harry.
Well, it's not that I mind so much. It's just that, well, there comes a time in every man's life when he just has to move on. And I would appreciate it if your time was now.
Actually, I've been thinking that it was about time we pulled up a few of our chains and moved to a new environment, Phyllis. One can get a bit tired of the same surroundings and the same paces.
Oh, Gerald, you don't mean mine.
No, someone far uglier than you, Phyllis.
Oh, good.
Yes, and I'm not going to mention any names either, but I'm sure we all know which bald-headed, overweight man I'm talking about.
All right, that's enough of that. I've got a friend who's an estate agent. I'll see what he can do for you.
No, thank you, Harry. My dealings with your friends have cost me far too much money. No, this time I'll find someone on my own. Phyllis, this seems as good an agency as any.
Egbert's Estate. Any house or land we'll buy or sell, but don't despair, we rent as well. Oh,
What a nice little poem, Gerald.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, let's go in.
Hello.
What can you do?
Hello. And what can I do for you?
Well, we'd like to move home.
Well, then I'm just the man to help you. Honest Egbert Thrunton Smythe, I'm called. By those who've done business with me.
Oh, and have there been many of those?
Many? Ooh, there have been hundreds, hundreds.
Ah, well, that's gone, because we...
No, hang on. I think I've told a little lie there. And that won't do, because I won't be able to call myself Honest Egbert, will I?
Well, what did you lie about?
Oh, the number of customers I've had. But first, you've got to bear in mind that I haven't been open all that long.
Oh, how long?
Only 3 months so far.
Oh.
But there have been customers... Well, there has been a customer. But he's more than satisfied, more than satisfied.
What did you find for him, whoever he is?
This office, and I'm absolutely delighted with him.
Well, I don't think you're quite the chap we're
looking for. Oh, come on, don't be like that. You can be my first real customer.
Well, I don't really know.
Oh, go on, please. I've got to start somewhere.
Oh, we might as well, Gerald. At least let's see what he's got to offer.
All right, but it'll have to be good.
Oh, goody. Now, let's see. You want to buy, I can see that. You look the wealthy type. Yeah, round about 35,000, I'd say.
Come on, Phyllis, let's go somewhere else.
Oh, no. No, wait, Gerald. I'm sorry, Mr. Egbert, but we don't want to buy.
Oh, well, you must be selling then. I'm sharp, you know. What have you got? Nice little castle tucked away in a forest, eh? Or a 20-room Tudor mansion that needs a little work?
Well, at the moment, we're renting a 2-bedroom house in Wimbledon, and we want to rent another one somewhere.
Oh, well, it was nice thinking about the commission. How much do you want to pay as rental?
Well, we want to go up in the world, we do.
Oh, a double story, you mean?
No, not necessarily. We just want to go up one more rung on the accommodation ladder. Expense is no object. We'd be prepared to pay anything up to, £1 a week more than we are now.
Ooh, but Gerald, do you think that's wise?
Oh, it'll be all right, Phyllis, don't you worry. I've got £90 to play with, so at £1 a week, we've got 90 weeks leeway before I have to put in any more. I'll get an increase before then, don't you worry.
Oh, well, I hope it's not like the last one, which put you into a higher tax bracket, so you ended up drawing less than you were before.
Now, Phyllis, just you leave the eye finance to me. I'll soon have us in a better house than we were before.
Oh, all right, dear.
Now then, where were we?
Spending £1 a week more.
Oh, yes. Now, what can you give us?
Well, it all depends on what you're paying now, doesn't it?
£6.93 a week.
Oh, come on, stop mucking about. £6.93 a week?
I'm not mucking about.
You aren't?
No.
Oh, where do you live for that price, then?
37 Blossom Avenue, Wimbledon.
Oh, well, that explains it, doesn't it? Now then, you want something for £7.93 a week, right?
That's right. In fact, I'd even be prepared to go up to £7.95.
The last of the big spenders. Hang on, let me think. I could probably get you a bench in Hyde Park for that.
Come along, Phyllis. I refuse to stay around here and be insulted.
Oh, hang on. No, let's be serious. Now, what have I got for that? Oh, yes, just a place. It's exactly what you need.
Oh, good.
There's only one thing that worries me, though.
Oh, what's that?
My commission. On £7.95, it comes to exactly 30 pence a week.
Bought a new Mazda the other day. It's a great new car, the people all say. It's got a rotary engine, goes round and round, instead of pistons that go up and down. My old engine goes. But my new Mazda goes.
Mazda Rotary. Just three basic moving parts. So reliable it has an engine guarantee of 2 years or 40,000 kilometers. Go Mazda Rotary. Get ahead. Every General R280 radial has 364 little safety studs between its treads. The studs are there to brace and stabilize the treads and help stop them fidget under stress. And the fact that we've reduced the fidget in our treads explains why the General R280 brakes so well, corners so well, and has the longest possible life. General R280 radials, the long-living tires.
Believe it, they're going.
No, all right, Harry, all right. Calm down. They haven't gone yet.
No, but they will. They're bound to find something at that agent. Oh, peace at last.
Dear Harry, would you mind?
Phyllis
does happen to be my sister. I'll miss her.
Yeah, sure, but him I won't miss.
Oh, this is probably them. That's the agent.
What, now let me wait to hear where they're going.
Well, just restrain yourself. Harry!
Well, did you find the place?
Yes, Harry, we're moving.
Oh, today I feel so happy, so happy, so happy.
All right,
Harry,
all right, that's
okay.
Where are you going?
Well,
next
week. No, don't tell me, let me guess. I suppose it's too much to hope for, but you aren't emigrating, are you?
No, Harry, we'll still be in the country.
Oh, still in the country. Well, how about north of Scotland?
No, Harry.
South of Scotland?
No.
Why? No,
Harry,
no. We're going to be a little bit nearer than that, aren't we, Gerald?
Yes,
a bit.
Oh, well, Manchester?
No.
Birmingham?
No, closer than that, Harry.
Oh, no. Reading? Closer still? You don't mean you're still going to be in London?
Yes.
Still, I suppose London's a pretty big place. Which side? North?
No, Harry, the south.
But we're in the south.
Yes, that's right. We didn't want to get too far away from Glover's.
Oh, no. I can't stand the suspense. Where are you going to live?
Well, you know, if you stand on your front doorstep, our house is the one on your left.
Yes.
Well, as from the 1st of next month, our house is going to be the one on your right.
I just can't. All the build-up, all the excitement. So they're only moving from one side of us to the other.
Oh, all right, Harry. It could be worse.
Could it?
Yes. They could be moving in here with us.
No. I couldn't take it. They wouldn't do that, would they, Self? Please tell me they wouldn't do that, Self. Please tell me, Self.
All right, Harry. I won't let them.
Oh, thank you, Self. I won't forget you.
No, you better not. They say that you better not have forgotten what you promised me last night.
Last night?
Mm.
Oh, just tell me again what it was.
Oh, Harry, you
have
forgotten.
No, I just wanted to see if you remembered all the details.
Well, of course. You're still sticking to it, aren't you, Harry?
Well, I really don't know.
Harry, just you promised.
Well, I guess I'll say it. All right. What did I promise?
To build me a tennis court.
Hey! Are you out of your mind, Selma?
No, why?
Well, what on earth do you want a tennis court for?
Exercise. I'm just not getting enough.
Okay. Just like that, you expect me to build you a tennis court?
Well, I only made the suggestion. You're the one that promised to see it through.
Well, I don't remember a word about it. When did I promise?
Last night, when we were in bed.
But I was so tired, I was asleep as soon as we hit the pillow.
Oh, so how come you were still talking to me?
Well, I don't think I was. Did you actually hear me say, I promise?
Well, of course. Well, it was more like... something, but the idea was there.
I think you're imagining things, Phil.
Oh, yes, I thought that's what would happen. I thought you'd go back on your word. So much up, I said to myself. Don't you get too excited, because... you know him too well. He'd have forgotten all about it in the morning. He only said yes because he wanted to get me off his back so he could get some sleep.
Now, Selma, let's be fair.
I am being. I've been let down.
transformation. The department expects too much of your promises. Oh, it's all right. You don't have to build me a tennis court. I just set me heart on it, that's all. It's just the only thing that I'll ever ask you for the rest of the year, that's all. But you don't...
No. Wait. Is that a promise, Sal?
What?
If I build it for you, you won't ask me for another thing for the rest of the year.
Well, Got me a count from the shop. Yes, it's a promise.
Right. And you aren't asleep or anything?
No. Well, Harry, does this mean you are going to build it for me?
Well, if there's enough room in the back garden, yes, sir. I'll build it with pleasure.
Knocked me out with a feather. He said, yes, that's not done.
Oh, Silver, that's super.
Yes, isn't it? But I'm amazed that he agreed so easily. I thought he put up a terrific fight. Especially about the bit that I made up about him promising in his sleep.
Oh, poor Harry. Don't you think that was a little bit mean, Selma?
Yeah, I suppose it was in a way. But we do need a little more exercise than we get. And playing tennis would give it to us. Harry included.
Yes. I wonder why he gave in so quickly, though. It's not like him at all.
No. I think he could have been scared, but if he said no, I'd have done my wailing act on him.
Your wailing act?
Yes, like this.
Oh, yes, yes. How dare you, Sheldon?
Finished.
Oh, yes, of course, Gerald. Why?
I thought I heard a fire engine pulling up outside.
Oh, Gerald, no. That was only Thelma.
Was it? Well, that's the last time you come around here for tea, Thelma. You're going to complain that much.
Oh, no, Gerald. Thelma was just a bit upset because Harry promised to build her a tennis court. If he could get it all in their back garden. And he knew all the time that it wouldn't fit.
Yeah, I'll murder him when I get home. I'll murder him.
No, Thelma, I've got a much better idea than that.
Oh, what?
Well, do you remember when we first talked about moving, Harry said that he would shift everything for us?
Yes.
Well, because he's going to do me such a favour, I'm going to do one for him in return.
Oh, what's that?
Well, the house that we're going into has got a much bigger garden. Why don't you talk Harry into building it there?
Tommy, what are you doing waking a man up at this time of the morning, Sal? And on a Sunday, too.
It's time for your first game of tennis on your new coat.
Oh, that's why I feel such stiff. All that work I did yesterday.
Come on, then. Up and at him, Tiger.
I don't think I'm going to. Oh, tell me, what on earth is that you're wearing?
The old tennis dress. What do you think it was?
Well, I don't know. Bit old fashioned, isn't it? You look like Bobby Riggs in drag.
Right, that's enough sarky comments for one day, thank you. Now, come on, get up and let's get out into that sunshine.
Oh, no, I'll sit this one out, thanks. My back dead from all that cement I did. Go on, go and play with Felicia.
She's already playing.
Oh, well, that's all right. She's doing what?
She and Gerald have been out there for half an hour.
What? On my new court? Yes, let me get at them.
Well, I got you out of bed quickly enough.
Flipping liberty.
First I have to shift all his furniture for him. Then he goes and sticks his big nose into my business, saying I can build a court on his ground, and now he's playing on it. Oi, Gerald! Get yourself off my tennis court. I'm coming to play.
Whose court?
Mine. Now get off. Well, yours, but it's my call.
Don't be silly, Harry. How can you
own
a tennis court on my
ground? But,
you
never...
You
come on,
you're
a day of the afternoon, if you like. I won't be here, if you can. Won't be here. Won't be here. Well, I've all... Here, did you hear that,
Selma? Of course I did, lover boy. What are you going to do about it?
Well, in the first place, I'm going to fix him tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Why only tomorrow?
Well, it's time for the office sweep again, and he told me he was going to have a bit of a fling this time.
And in the second place?
Well, in the second place, as soon as we can only play this afternoon, I'll go back to bed. I wasn't going to get him back for all the things he's done to me over the last few weeks. All the work I did lugging his furniture up the road. All the work I put into that court. I had him, but he got out of it.
But how?
Well, he hadn't bought Phyllis's new dress yet, so I managed to persuade him to put all his £90 on the sweep. He bought numbers 1 to 90. So I took 91, and I flogged a few more around the factory to make it a bit more legal. Spent hours making sure all the numbers in the drawer read 91. Mm-hmm. Then that silly board from the typing pool went and ruined the whole thing by drawing one, holding it upside down and saying, the lucky number this month is number 16.
Oh, no.
Paul Mole, please.
Come, Alfie.
Whether you say Pall Mall or Paul Mall, you get London's superb cigarette. Rothman's Pall Mall. Super filter, super flavor, super gold pack. Look for the red and blue ribbon of quality. Rothman's Pall Mall.
Smirnoff times aren't planned, they just happen. All you need is a bottle of Smirnoff and a little imagination. Phone your friends, bring on the mixers, and have yourself a breathless experience.
Because Smirnoff vodka lets you feel yourself nice and lively and crystal clear. Smirnoff, it's your breath.
That was On the Move, featuring Jim Williams and Barry Miller Brown as the Duffs and David Horner and Julian Lomberg as the Loaders, helped out tonight by Frank Graham. The script was written and directed by Brian Squires and produced by John Neal. Join Springbok Radio again next Monday at 9:30 for another look over the garden fence with our friends and neighbors.